I was concerned yesterday because my throat started hurting and had a lot of sinus issues going on. I thought I might be getting sick. Till I walked out this morning and saw that my truck was no longer blue, but it had become a nice shade of somewhere between yellow and green, because my truck's blue and yellow is the pollen. And so I think the trees have really let loose here in the last few days, and it's beginning to affect at least my throat, and I'm sure others that have those same kind of issues going on. So I think tonight we should have been thankful for Claritin, we know how the pollen gets around here. This is the only place I've ever lived that pollen literally blew in clouds around. I've seen that here, and that's been amazing. They were slaves. Not slaves like we see in the New Testament, which was a very unique form at that particular time, but they were slaves in the sense that they were severely treated, that they were beaten, that they were forced to labor long hours in the hot sun. It was a terrible way to have to live, a terrible life. And then one day, God stepped in. And He provided them a deliverer. He provided them Moses, a man who was able to work mighty powers, mighty wonders amongst people. In fact, God said, Moses, I'm going to make you a God to them so that they will know that I am God. And Moses comes into the land of Egypt and he says, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh asked that famous question, who is God that I should heed His voice? He found out, didn't he? God brought down upon the Egyptians powerful plagues, some of the most powerful exhibitions of God's power that we see in the Bible outside of the flood and the creation. And He brings those down on that nation, literally taking the most powerful nation in the world and bringing it to its knees. And Pharaoh says, after losing his son, leave. Take your people. So they begin to leave and they come to the Red Sea. And they are camped between two forts of the Egyptians. And they have the Egyptian army now pursuing them from behind. They are completely hemmed in. There is nowhere that they can go except back to slavery. God tells Moses to stretch out his staff. And the sea is parted. And they walk across on dry land, and the army attempts to pursue them, as God has been at the, even before that moment, He has been active in diverting and stopping and slowing down that army as it continues to pursue them. But they reach the other side. The army is in the sea. God brings the water back down on them. So not only has He brought a nation to its knees, but He's also destroyed its entire army. These people come out on the other side and they sing praises to God, dance upon the beach. God feeds them. God provides them water. God provides them with clothes that never wears out. All they have to do in the day, they don't have to raise crops, they don't have to toil in the sun. All they have to do is get up in the morning and walk out and pick lunch up off the ground, right? That's it. How many would like to do that? Just skip the whole Walmart and grocery store experience. Just get it on the front lawn. I like that. It's like home delivery. That's all they had to do. And you would think, after having been delivered from terrible slavery into a life of relative ease, other than just having to travel, other than just being maybe in some areas that weren't terribly wonderful, I guess you could say, but still you've got everything you need, you would think that they would be a little bit thankful, wouldn't you? But they're not. For it never takes very long for the Israelites, does it, to say, or to begin to grumble, as the Bible says. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to die? I mean, it was one constant complaint after another, but very little in the way of ever being thankful to God. And if there is a great sin that we see among the children of Israel, it is the great sin throughout their history, not just at the beginning at the Exodus, but throughout their history, it is the terrible sin of ingratitude. God blessed them over and over and over and over
and over, and they constantly turned away to Baal, to the Asherah, to whatever came along. They constantly turned away from God. Those gods never blessed them in any way because they're not gods. And they turned their back on the God that did and committed the great sin of ingratitude. We've all done things for people and had them act like, well, you just should have done it, right? You sacrifice for somebody and they basically like, yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, no, I said thanks. See, that would even be something to be thankful. I've had people not even say thanks. Just like, you should have done that anyway. And then turn around and act like you've never done anything for them, right? It hurts, doesn't it? You think God's any different? When we go to Luke chapter 17, we see that not much has changed. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, and there were 10 lepers. And the 10 lepers called out to him and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." There was no, Jesus didn't have to do anything for them. He didn't have to heal them. But being the compassionate person that he was, said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." They began to go. They had enough faith to at least believe they might as well got me. When they started, they still had the leprosy, right? But while they were on their way, they were cleansed. And only one out of 10, turned around, praised God, went back and fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked Him for what He had done. I find Jesus' response to be the most interesting part of that story. Jesus said, "Were there not 10? Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are they?" Folks, God does so much for us. Jesus blesses us in so many ways. May He never say, when it comes to returning and thanking Him, "Where were you?" I know in my life God has done many things for me. He has blessed me in many ways, and many times I have forgotten. I have failed to thank Him properly. May we never do it anymore. May we realize that in our lives. May we understand the great blessing. May we count, as we sang a moment ago, count our many blessings. There is, if you want to thank God, there is one primary way that you thank God. There is the one big way. I mean, there's a thousand little things He does. There's a million big things He does for us. But there is the biggest thing that He did for us. And if you want to thank Him for that, the only way to really do it is to give your life to Him. To make it mean something. Because if you don't, what Jesus Christ did on the cross all those years ago is worthless. And you don't care about what He did, because it is causing you to do nothing in response to it. If you want to thank God tonight, give your life to Him. If it is to obey the gospel and allow the love of Jesus Christ, as John said, to be perfected in you, do that tonight. If maybe you have forgotten all that God has done for you, if you've forgotten what the blood of Jesus Christ did for you, what Him hanging on the cross has done for your life, and you've left that and you've walked away and you haven't been thankful for what He's done, you haven't shown that thanks. See, you can say thank you and you can show thank you, right? You haven't shown thank you to God, then do so by coming back to Him. Give Him your life. He deserves it. He's earned it by what He's done for you. And give Him the ultimate thanks of a life to Him. We can assist you in that this evening. We hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.